open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I've just got 4 verses to read. And then Pam's going to come and sing after I lead prayer. But Bruce Daly's in the hospital. He had to go to the emergency room this morning. He's got a stone that's got his bile duct stopped up. And he was in excruciating pain. They gave him some morphine. And they sent him just a little while ago. He's on his way to Park West. And they'll decide tomorrow when to do the surgery, but he's going to have surgery to get the stone out. So he's pretty sick. And he'll be at Park West this evening and be down there tomorrow. And just as quick as Sandy lets me know, when the surgery's going to be. And I tell you, this poor Brucey, bless his heart. I come up last Saturday and they started him on oxygen, and that just my heart just sank over that. And he's supposed to have a hip replaced, 2 hips replaced, and 2 knees replaced in the next year, 1 every 3 months. Well, but y'all remember him. He's special. And nobody like Brucey. Nobody. But y'all remember him and Sandy. Verse 35, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our gracious Father in heaven, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you and bless you and praise you. You're worthy of all of our praise, our worship. We bless your holy name. Who is like unto you in mercy and compassion and power, pity? Lord, to keep your people saved, to keep them looking to you, believing you, cleaving to you, in this world of sin and grief and sorrow, troubles and trials and vanities and vexations. And yet, Lord, you keep us, and with all that goes on in our own selves, with our own hearts and our own minds. And yet, Lord Jesus, you keep us. You keep us believing. Keep us looking and trusting to you. And Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us. Oh God, what a blessed privilege. I know I say this every, but Lord, I am truly thankful for the privilege to be able to meet with people of like mind, like heart, begotten of the Spirit of God, that believes the Lord Jesus Christ, and to worship with them, and to study the Word with them, and to be numbered among them. And a privilege, Lord, for us to meet. God, open your word tonight. And Lord, we pray for Bruce. Oh, Lord, please pity Bruce. Lord, give the doctors the wisdom to know what to do. And oh, Lord, be merciful to him. And Lord, make him, enable him to be made whole and be made to, so he can come home and be without any pain and without such grief. God bless Sandy. Lord, strengthen and encourage her. We know your grace is sufficient. We know that. They know that. And they're looking to you. And Lord, we're looking to you for them. We love them. Pray your very best for them. Strength and power and grace and mercy. Oh, Lord Jesus, raise him up. Worship with us again just in a few days. May you grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Pamela Kay. My subject this evening is a portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. A portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they had fainted. They were tired and wearied and lay down, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I want to use this word compassion to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus was filled with compassion. And our Lord was moved when he looked at these people. He was moved with compassion on them. His emotions were moved. His heart went out. All that was in him went out to these people. It moved him. It moved him to such a way. And compassion is the ability, is the ability to enter into somebody's trouble and then do something about it. And our Lord Jesus was filled with tenderness concerning these folks. They were fainted. When it says they were fainted, they got tired and they laid down. They just were so tired and so weary that they all just sat down and they all just began to lay down. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, all that was within him was stirred up when he had a sight of all these people. And he was full of emotion about it. And it wasn't because of the temporal condition that they were in, but because of the spiritual condition. It said here, he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. So he's looking at them in a spiritual sense. And I tell you, this is the way I say it. His heart yearned for them. He was touched, really, truly touched with the feelings of their infirmity. You know, when more miserable a person is, when misery is there, misery is the object of mercy. When people are in misery and in such a sad state, that's the people that's the object of the mercy of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ was often found under strong emotion for men. You remember it says that he looked out over the city of Jerusalem. He beheld the city and he wept over Jerusalem. That's a pretty strong emotion to stand and weep over a whole city. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, if you just knew what could have been yours. But you would not. You would not. And he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He wept not for the people that was grieving, but he wept because he's got to bring this man back again, and this man's going to have to go through the same thing again. But our Lord shows that he had power over death, but still yet he wept over it. And he had anger. There were times he was angry. One place it tells that he was angry at them for the hardness of their hearts. And he says to Chorazin, woe unto thee, Chorazin. For if the works that had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah had been done in you, they would have repented. And then he says, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, you're going to be cast down to hell. So he got angry, and then there was the time that he come in and cast out all the money changers and thrown over all their tables and thrown over all the, and then took a scourge and whipped them and beat them out of the temple. Said, you turned God's house, the house of prayer, into a den of thieves and whipped them out of the temple. So he's a man of emotion. And he also knew what joy was. He had joy when those saints came back and said, oh, he said, I tell you what, said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said, oh, listen, That ain't nothing. He said, oh, that you got a place in heaven and your heavenly Father sees you. And that's what brings joy to you. That's what brings joy to me. But this verse, moved with compassion on the multitudes, moved with compassion, shows our Lord's entire life, and gives us a beautiful portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's behold his compassion in several different ways. First of all, let's look at his compassion in the great transactions that happened in our Lord's life. Now, our Lord had transactions before he came into this world. There was the eternal covenant before the world ever began. Before God ever put the stars in space, and as Spurgeon said, before the sons of God ever shouted for joy, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Father, they entered into an eternal, everlasting covenant. And a covenant was just between them, and it involved us only as we were given to someone in that covenant. But it was conceived in the will and purpose and decree of God. And God made a covenant, and the covenant was with the Son. The covenant was the Holy Ghost. The covenant was with the Father. And this is the arrangement of it. The Father said, I give you a people. My Son, I love you, and I give you a people. If you will go and become their surety. And a surety is one who stands good for another and compensates for their incompetence or their lack of ability. And he stood because we was incompetent and certainly had no ability. So he said, if you'll go be their surety, if you'll stand good for them, if you'll go down and be their substitute, be their one standing, you take their sin and stand in their place and bear their iniquities and bear their judgment and bear their death, and bear everything that's responsible, that I would hold them responsible. If you'll do that, if you will take upon yourself their sin and bear it away in your own body on the tree, I'll give you sheep, and you'll be their shepherd. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll do that. And the Holy Ghost, he said, and this is what the Father said for the Holy Ghost to do. He said, you go down there, and everyone that I give to him, you go and you make him known to them. You take what I say about my Son and what's written about my Son and what's taught about my Son and all the deeds of my Son, and you go to those that he died for and I would give to him. You go to them and you make him known to their hearts and minds and will, and give them faith and give them repentance and give them a sight and give them all they need for time and eternity. And our Lord said, I'll do that. And you know what? Right here's evidence of it. You're talking about compassion. Compassion before we was ever born. He was moved with compassion in the eternal covenant of grace. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was for us. For his people, for us, a multitude of sinners that no man can number. You remember when Joseph kept Benjamin down there. He made him bring his youngest brother that he had never saw. And he was going to take him down there, and Judah, his father said, oh, if he goes, I'll never see him again. And Judah said, I'll be a surety for him. I'll guarantee that he's brought back. And if he don't, hold me responsible. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did in the covenant of grace. He became responsible for us. For all of our salvation, before we ever was, before time began, he was moved with such compassion, the Godhead was, that they made a way to save people like us. To save Adam. To save Noah. To save Abraham. to save Jacob, to save you, to save me. And I'll tell you another way who shows his great, great compassion. And then when our Lord Jesus Christ came here and took upon himself flesh, when he came here, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, oh, listen, you're talking about matchless compassion, that our Lord Jesus Christ would humble himself and come into this world. And he would come born of a woman. He that was God would put himself in the womb of a woman and be born of a virgin. And he was put in the poorest family that there could possibly be thought of. A poor family, working family. And our Lord Jesus Christ, and then not only that he was born of a woman, and the announcement was made. And she said, how can this be? I don't know, I've never known a man. He said, oh, listen, God will take care of that. The Holy Ghost will do that. And oh, listen, and then look where he was born. Born in Bethlehem. You go to Bethlehem today, and it's still a tiny little village. And not only was he born in Bethlehem, but he was born in a stable. Go down to my barn. Go down to my barn. Where you feed your cattle and feed your goats and feed your sheep. Go to the, and that's where our Lord Jesus Christ was born, in a stable, in a place where they kept the cows and the donkeys and the sheep and the goats. That's where he was born. And everything about him, all of his life, he was a poor man. He was a poor man. Though he was rich, he became poor. That we, through his poverty, he became poverty stricken. He was a poor man. That we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And then another thing that shows us his compassion, his living in the flesh. Oh, what compassion, our Lord. He came and assumed this flesh. Now listen to me. Our Lord Jesus Christ said he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, he was a man. He was a man. You feel him. You could slap him. He could bleed. He could be hurt. He knew what it was to be hungry. Knew what it was to be thirsty. Knew what it was to be tired. Knew what it was to work. But he was every way like us. But it was the likeness of sinful flesh. It was not sinful flesh. You and I are sinful flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a body like ours. But he had no sin of his own. He had no sin. And I tell you, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, prepared him a body. And he put all things under his feet. And you know what people said about him? Look over in John chapter 9. John chapter 6. Look what people said about him. Look what was thought of him. He lived in this world and he lived in the flesh. I tell you, it was to show you how he was God and man. There's so many instances that show you. Just like he was asleep in the hold of that ship. Sound asleep, wore out, tired. And there's going across the sea, and a great storm rose up. And that storm never bothered our Savior. He laid there and slept. They run down there and woke him up, shook him, said, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They woke him, and he just walked out there. Now, we know God don't sleep. Man does. But he looked out, walked out on that ship, and he said, peace be still. And the wind calmed down, the rain stopped, and the sea became just as calm as it could be. Man can't do that, but God can, and God was in the person, the man. God took on himself a body and lived in this world. And look what people thought of him when he was here. Look what it says in verse 42, John 6, 42. And they said, is not the verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And he is the bread. He's that heavenly manna. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Man, we know his mom and his daddy. What's he talking about? Can't be anything to him. And then look over here in chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea. Now his brethren now. He had brothers. His brothers said therefore unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, see, for there is no man. Now listen, this is what his own family thought about him. For there is no man that does anything in secret. If he does it in secret, you know what he wants? He himself seeketh to be known openly. Men don't do things where people can't see them and can't get any recognition for them. That's what he's saying. That's human nature. And that's their nature. We don't want to do anything that we don't get recognized for. And that's what they're saying about him. He says, oh, listen, you don't do anything. You want to be known openly. If you do these things, show thyself to the world. Listen to this. For neither did his brethren believe in him. His family thought he was crazy. They mocked him, made fun of him because he never learned letters. And he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And oh my, oh great compassion in this covenant of grace. Great compassion in him coming in here and being born of a virgin and being born in a little place called Bethlehem and being laid in a manger. And oh, what compassion when he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And God sent him into this world to be one with us. And you're talking about compassion. Move with compassion. His bearing our death penalty. That's the highest compassion that he could possibly show you and I. Bearing our death penalty. Bearing our sin. Bearing our iniquities. She sung that tonight. He was wounded for my transgressions. Bore my iniquities. And I tell you what, it meant several things for our Lord Jesus Christ to bear our death and actually die. And he died. How does life die? Christ did. And that meant, beloved, that he had to be separated from men. Men themselves separated him from them. Said, away with this man, we'll not have him reign over us. And then the worst part about it was that he was separated from God. God the Father wouldn't even come to his help. God the Father wouldn't even come to his aid. God the Father wouldn't even help him in any way. Our Lord Jesus prayed and said, oh, if there's any other way. But there on that cross, after 6 hours, a man was alive talking. And he said, I thirst. And they stuck some vinegar on a sponge and stuck it up to his mouth. And he says, it's written. And then he cried out, it is finished. And then he died. He died and gave up the ghost. And they was astonished when they come. And this is a man that cannot die, died. And they took him down off that cross. Had to pull those nails out of his hands. Pull those nails out of his feet. Take him off that cross. And some ladies and some men, they took him over there and they washed his body real good and put all kinds of fragrances on his body and then took some cloth and they started winding him up and put him in his grave and then put a stone over it. He died a death that you and I'd have to die. And except we would have died eternally. Moose Park sent me a a song that an Armenian, a freewheeler, wrote back in the 1700s about anybody. I mean, he bragged on free will, and if God's really in control, sovereignty, you know, then that's you know, it's just awful, and that, and he bragged about his free will and all, and I wrote it back and said, that man's been in hell all this couple hundred years, and he's just getting started. And should a man that would write and boast about his free will and write a song about free will and despising the grace of God? And that's what's going to happen to men and women. But here's, we'll never die. There's no way, this body will, but we ourselves will not die. What makes us will not die. The person inside me that is animated, that talks to you, that's the person that's going to go to be with Christ. This body's not, but that spirit, that person inside of me, that same person, that person with this way I am and all the loves, and when I that's who will go to be with Christ. And I won't die. The body will, but I won't. That's why we say, they're gone. They're gone to be with the Lord. And I tell you why, because Christ has already bore our death. And the death, sin is the wages of sin is death, and Christ paid our wages. Ain't that right? Paid our wages. Oh, no. That's why we say when a believer dies, they just start living. They just started living. Me and Duke went out to his mother's grave here a little while back, and he stood there, and of course he's very emotional, and I said, son, I said, you know your mother's not there, you know that. I said, just a body's there. And we knew that body. But I said, son, she's in glory. She's rejoicing in glory. She's in the presence of Christ. Never has thought another thing of this world right here. Never entered her mind. And you know why she's there? Christ paid the wages of her sin. He was moved with compassion. Huh? Moved with compassion. Oh, my. Let me tell you, I don't want to take too long, but let me give you another that shows the compassion. What a beautiful portrait of our Lord. Moved with compassion. What a portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. His intercession for sinners shows us that he still has compassion on us. The fact that he intercedes, he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. He takes up our case. He takes up our causes. Don't he? I want to show you some things. You know, we have a high priest that's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. And we come unto a throne of mercy, a throne of mercy. But as the high priest under the law bore the names of the children of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ bears us before the Father. And I tell you something, he don't talk about us, he talks about himself. Right now, I tell you what he's doing. He's interceding for Bruce Daly. Right now. Because he's touched with the feelings of his infirmities. And just as sure as you're crying, Bruce is calling on him. If Bruce is awake, he's calling on the Lord. And the Lord's moved and touched with the feelings of his infirmities. The Lord's interceding for him right now. The Lord's interceding for us. He knows what's going to happen 10 days out, 100 days out, 10 years out. And beloved, everything that happens, he takes up our case and our cause. Let me show you something in Exodus 28. Turn with me to Exodus 28. And I tell you what, you fall into sin and you're embarrassed. You fall into sin. You do something, you're embarrassed to say, Lord, I told you I wouldn't do that again. Here, I've done it. And there you go, you know, you go before the Lord and said, oh, Lord, I've told you, I wouldn't act that way. I wouldn't do that. And here I am, I've done it. Oh, Lord, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. And And yet, he intercedes for us. Huh? Look here in Exodus 28 and 9. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of the names on one stone and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. From Reuben all the way up to Benjamin. With the work of an engraver graven in stone, like the engravings of a signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. That means, you know, there's these epaulets. It's on people's suit, military. That's what he's got here. He got these things here, and you can stick things in them. And that's what he says. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Six names on this and over here. Six names on this and over there. Our Lord's got our names right there. The government's on his shoulder. He puts his sheep upon his shoulder. And let me show you another. And so he bears them upon his shoulder. He's got the strength to bear them. He's got the strength to bear us all. Now let me show you another one here. Look down here in Exodus 28, 29. And of course, you've got another thing where they take all the children of Israel and put them on four different stones, and they laid in front, three on three, and they're on the breastplate. Now look what happens now. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for memorial before the Lord. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. He got right across his heart. He's moved with compassion. And we own his heart. And he bears our judgment continually before the Lord. Now look over here. Let me show you one more. Exodus 28 and 36. Now he's talking about this mitre, this golden mitre that's going to set on Aaron's head. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it upon blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead. Now listen to this. That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their gifts. And it shall always be upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Now what's the holy things that we do? We're doing it right now. We're worshiping, singing, praying, preaching. Sin's in that. He bears the iniquity of our holy things. Oh, like Henry said, our tears need to be wept over and repented over. There's so much sin even in our tears. But oh, let me give you quickly some instances of our Lord Jesus Christ, instances of his compassion. Turn with me back to Matthew 9. I don't want to take long. Turn with me back in Matthew 15, excuse me. Matthew 15. Look at our Lord Jesus, always so moved with compassion. And when you go through the scriptures, reading his history, you know, his life in the Gospels, you'll see how many times it was said he was moved with compassion. Look in verse 32. Matthew 15, 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now he had compassion on the multitude. They've been with me 3 days and they're hungry. He had compassion on them. And look over here in Matthew 14, 14. He had compassion on the sick. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Oh, moved with compassion. Let me show you in Matthew 20. Look here in Matthew 20, and I'll be done. But you know the lepers would come to him and said, "Oh Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." But in Matthew 20, 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sat by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said unto them, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." Now listen. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Compassion. Compassion. And oh my, it's like that maniac of Gadara. It's like the widow's son. She was heartbroken, a mother heartbroken, the only son she had. She's going to the graveyard with him, and a whole bunch of people's going along with her. And our Lord came from the other way. He stopped that funeral, stopped the casket. And the scripture said he was moved with compassion towards her. A widow, the only son. He said, "I say, arise." And he raised up out of that grave, out of that casket. And she went home with her son. That's compassion. Oh, and I tell you what, which one of these are you? Which one are you? You're a leper? You're blind? You're hungry? You're sick? Whatever it is, he's moved with compassion. And let me give you several things quickly of what compassion our Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us every day, even now, and will until we leave this world. You see, let me show you this in Hebrews 5, and this will set this up. Hebrews 5. Let me set this up in Hebrews 5 about our Lord Jesus Christ and being our high priest and what compassion he has for us. Now look what it says here. "Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." And then he talked about no man takes this honor in verse 4 unto himself, but he that's called of God. So Christ also glorified himself not to be made a high priest, but God did. But as our high priest, and as the lover of our souls, as the one who saved us by his wonderful, blessed grace in that covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus, knowing our ignorance, knowing our needs, knowing our sorrows, let me tell you some things he's provided for us. He provided us a Bible. He provided us this blessed book. Oh my. He gave it to us for our guidance, so he could talk to us and we could see him and understand some things about him. And he gave it to us for our guidance, for our comfort, for our light. And I'll tell you something else he gave us. He gave us preachers. Men that speaks as one man to another man. And God uses preachers to tell out men's hearts and tell where they are and what they're going through. Thank God for preachers. Not because I'm one, but thank God for preachers. Preachers that preaches the gospel of the grace of God, that stands and loves us and tells us the truth and has and wants the very best for us. And I tell you what, he also gave us the Holy Ghost to comfort us, to help our infirmities in prayers and the weakness of our flesh and our natures. Oh, the Holy Ghost is given to us to keep us, strengthen us, encourage us, and comfort us, and help us to pray. And I tell you something else he gave us. He gave us a throne of grace to go to obtain mercy in our time of need. That's compassion. He gave us a throne of grace to go to obtain mercy. And also many promises. How many promises has he given us? How many promises? Oh, my, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to Jesus for refuge has fled. Oh, my. And then he gave us two things, and both of them, tell us of him. Baptism tells us of his death, tells us of his burial, tells us of his resurrection. And he was resurrected to the glory of the Father, and when a man's baptized, he's being identified with the death of Christ. When he's buried in water, he comes up out of that water. As a resurrection, he comes up out of the pool and he leaves out of that pool and he's going to walk in newness of life to the glory of God. And then there's the Lord's Supper. He said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this wine, do it what? In remembrance of me. Oh my. And what compassion our Lord has to us. And our own experiences proves it. Oh my, has he ever left you without hope? Has he ever left you in the midst of a trial, in sickness or affliction? And you know, just as we're able to bear something, he teaches us as we're able to bear it. And this is compassion right here. And I'll leave with this. He has never ceased to love us and let us know he loves us, even when our hearts are cold and we fell into sin, he still loves us just the way. We ain't surprised him by anything we've done. Oh, what a beautiful portrait. Moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Oh, our blessed, 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 blessed Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing me to speak of your blessed person tonight. Oh, Lord, you moved my heart. You spoke to my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Blessed be your name. God bless these dear saints. Encourage these saints. And please help us all to remember to pray for one another, but especially to pray for Bruce and Sandy now. God, see them. I know you'll see them through this, Lord. But we want to be there. And we want to pray for them. We want to show them that we love them. And, oh, God, meet the needs of every heart, every home. Save you people in this place for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.